our submission to him as we submit to his elders. So, beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lord is my shepherd. David confesses so in Psalm 23. And David's Lord is the Lord who came in the flesh in the fullness of time as Jesus. And he said, Jesus said, John 10, I am the good shepherd. So when the Lord, through his prophet Ezekiel in chapter 34 that we read a portion thereof, when he charges the shepherds of his people Israel with neglect in their shepherding duties, God then promises, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. I will care for my sheep. And so Jesus, the good shepherd, is that fulfillment of that prophecy. God in the person of Jesus Christ is the consummate shepherd of his sheep. Jesus, unlike all the human shepherds that God had appointed in past history, is unlike them because they were all fallible to sin. They were weak in their love of God. They were insufficient. They were negligent. They were just types of him who is the only good shepherd, Jesus Christ. For he is infallible, compassionate, never negligent of his people. He provides for his sheep the loving, selfless care they really need. Jesus is the good shepherd because, as John 10 tells us, because he gives himself for his sheep. He lays down his life for his sheep, John 10:11. So drawn into the safety of his fold, his pasture, Jesus says of those that he gathers, that he sought out, that he's brought to himself, I give them eternal life. My sheep shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. John 10:28. So Christ came into the world by his incarnation to provide protection for his sheep from the greatest danger to a sheep's security, which is that deadly, destructive power of sin, which results in eternal death by God's justice, as we heard that from our confession this morning. Jesus, by laying down his life for his sheep, by suffering God's justice for the sin of his sheep in their place, Jesus, by laying down his life and then taking it up again through his resurrection, he defeated him who had the power of death, Satan, as Hebrews puts that. Jesus, the good shepherd, secured for his sheep not only peace with God, but as the good shepherd, Jesus protects his sheep from Satan, who, like a roaring lion, seeks to always be destroying the sheep. And so under the care of the good shepherd, his sheep, although assailed by the devil, the world, and the flesh in this life, the sheep are kept eternally secure. So Jesus is the good shepherd. He came that his sheep might have life in him, be translated from death to life in Christ, life in the good shepherd. That eternal life that the good shepherd nurtures among his flock by feeding his flock, guarding his flock, guiding his flock with his spirit-empowered word. Because Jesus is shepherding his sheep, he's always with them until the end. That's his promise before his ascension. I will be with you until the end. His being shepherded sheep, you and I who are his sheep, we pray, we may live in the assurance that they, all of his sheep, will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, think about that. We'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the vital question is, who are his sheep? Who are those who receive his shepherding care all the way to complete peace and abundant life in heaven? As Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." See, that's the key to the benefits of Christ as your shepherd. That's the key to the assurance of peace with God, of eternal security, of salvation. Here's the key to that assurance, that you will dwell eternally in the house of the Lord. Here's the question: are you listening to the voice of Jesus as he proclaims himself the Good Shepherd? Are you listening to believe in him and to trust in him and to follow him, to do as he says, to be his disciple? That's how you know you're one of his sheep. And all the benefits, all the blessings of his shepherding care, from the time he laid down his life for you all the way to the end through this journey, he is your shepherd, and you have all the benefits of his care, even unto glory. So his sheep are those who are joined to him as members of his body, the church. They trust in him, his sheep do. They trust in him as their Savior. Knowing that they can't save themselves, they need him to be saved, his work to be saved. And the sheep are also those who acknowledge Jesus as their Lord, whose disciples they therefore strive to be. So his sheep are those who may make the comforting confession, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." May that be a confession for all of us gathered here. May we desire with compassion to have many more be able to make that same comforting confession, which is by faith, by trusting in Jesus, by being a disciple of his. So Jesus' sheep, the good shepherd, they lack nothing under his shepherding care. He feeds, he leads, he protects. And we should all realize that without the care of the good shepherd, none of his sheep in any time of history, none of his sheep would persevere in faith all the way through this enemy lurking, tribulation-filled life. We all need the ongoing shepherding care of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. But the Good Shepherd not only protects by giving his church the full armor of his word, Ephesians 6, but he also leads in path of righteousness, Psalm 23. And he empowers and enables his church by his spirit, by his word. He empowers and enables his church to walk repentantly in those paths of righteousness, so that his sheep are those turning away from the paths of ungodliness, the paths of the world, which is perishing, walking rather in paths of security. The members of Christ, by the ongoing shepherding care of the Good Shepherd, may live the kinds of lives that assure to being crucified with Christ, that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's what the shepherding care of Christ yields. He abides in me and I abide in him, assuring me of eternal security. When Jesus came to earth, Christ came to earth, asked Jesus, he showed his concern for the care of his sheep as he traveled through all the cities and the towns of Galilee. As Matthew records for us in 9:36, When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And so what did the good shepherd do? He called his 12 disciples to himself and he authorized them, he commissioned them to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Jesus, the good shepherd, authorized his apostles to be his under-shepherds. And Jesus did so in order for his church, his flock, all of his sheep, to be shepherded on earth, even as he, Jesus, left the earth to go back up to his Father in heaven. And so it is through his called, his authorized and equipped under-shepherds, the apostles being the first, through them, Jesus would continue to feed, lead, and guard his sheep. So the Apostle Peter, he's exhorting the elders that we read to their shepherding duties. He identifies himself with them as a fellow elder. And so here's the thing. Elders, whether they were the first elders, the apostles, like Peter and Paul, or whether they are called, ordained, and installed as elders of a Christian congregation in our day of the church, their essential work is to shepherd the sheep. That's the essential work of an elder, to shepherd the sheep on behalf of Christ, the chief shepherd. They're to shepherd the sheep in accordance with the directives of the chief shepherd that are given to elders by his word. And so through the work of elders, Jesus continues and he will continue to be the good shepherd to his sheep, to his flock, to his church. And that's why Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, exhorts his fellow elders, shepherd the flock of God among you. Shepherd the flock of God among you. Now, there are those within the evangelical church and other churches that bear the Christian name who tend to think of elders as being like CEOs, like being managers, a businessman who take care of the church in terms of all of its presence on this earth, in terms of seeing to it that the resources for the church are there, in terms of seeing to it that there's order and decency in the congregation. And what we have to be careful with is to understand that the chief goal, the chief directive, the chief purpose of the elders that Christ installs is to shepherd the flock, to shepherd the flock. Now, Peter was a sinner himself. He was fallible. He was imperfectly loving his Lord, just as all the men are who are called to serve as elders. They're all fallible human beings. They all have this treasure in earthen vessels. And Peter, in a time of selfish weakness, he denied his Lord three times, John 21. He went back to being a fisherman. But then the Lord, the resurrected Lord, appeared to him and asked Peter three times, do you love me? And Peter, each time when he said, yes, I love you, Lord, Jesus gave him a command that restored Peter to serve as elder. And the three commands were essentially all shepherding commands. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Now, the word used by Jesus for tending the sheep is the word for shepherding, which is more comprehensive than just feeding. Peter's all church elders are was directed by Jesus to guide, to guard, nurture the sheep. The Apostle Paul, in exhorting the elders of the Ephesian church, also emphasized that the elders' calling is to shepherd the sheep. He says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Be shepherds. Shepherds of the church. Now, that shepherding of the visible church is clearly in view in Hebrews 13, 17. Obey those who rule over you. That's the elders. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Now, we should remind ourselves, and we've looked through all of Hebrews, that the most immediate pastoral concern of Hebrews is that the Hebrew Christ-confessing members of the Christian church endure, persevere in their faith in Jesus Christ, not go backwards to the old covenant with just the types and shadows of Him. Jesus is their reality. Look to Him. So here we have that verse in Hebrews 12, let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The sheep, the flock, the church cannot run with endurance the race that is this earthly Christian life apart from being shepherded, that is, fed, led, guarded by Christ by way of His called, ordained, and installed elders. Without shepherding, and this is where Jesus uses that familiar vision of shepherding that's so common in the days of Jesus, the days of the Old Testament. Still common around here, we see shepherds in their wagons in this area. Shepherds know, we know, without shepherding the sheep do what? They stray. Sheep stray without shepherding. They become prey, as God said of His church in the Old Testament, because the elders were negligent. They become prey and are prone to conform to the world that is perishing. So shepherding is for the sake of abiding in the Christ Jesus, in whom alone, by abiding in Him, by abiding in His Word, there's the assurance of eternal security. So the elders now, we're talking about both teaching elders as well as ruling elders. In our three forms of unity, Belgian Confession, that's ministers and elders, but they're both really elders, different distinctives. The elders, through their feeding, through their encouraging and admonishing and disciplining applications of God's Word to the flock and individually to sheep, they are doing Christ's shepherding as His Word directs them to do. So Christ, through His under-shepherds, is leading His sheep safely through the tribulations and hardships and persecutions on their journey to their ultimate safe haven, the new heavens and the new earth. So shepherding is, another way of looking at shepherding is to have Christ's flock continue to put their trust in Jesus Christ and follow Him. Let them be guided by Him and His Word in every circumstance of life. And so shepherding always points the sheep back to the chief shepherd, back to His Word, back to the comfort of trusting what He says, His promises, back to trusting His almighty power, trusting He's always with us so that they may live the Christian life. That's what shepherding does. Reminds them, encourages, admonishes, guards them through the Word of God, the Word of Christ, the chief shepherd. Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. All the sheep must always be looking to Him so they may follow Him through all the trials of this life, all the way to glory. And so because Christ is the one who calls and authorizes His elders, because He is the head of the church, His sheep are to be obedient and submissive to those Christ appointed. The elders. In effect, as Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Jesus is speaking to His sheep through the elders. Teaching elder, the ruling elder. He's speaking through them as they apply his word from the pulpit to the whole flock, and as it's applied individually to individual sheep in private or family council or in a moment of encouragement, moment of fellowship. Hebrews was written, remember, Hebrews was written as Jesus had already left this earth in his ascension back to his Father in heaven. And yet Hebrews tells the sheep, 12:25, to see to it that they do not refuse to listen to him who speaks from heaven. Jesus speaks from heaven in our day, in the day of Hebrews, via the proclamation of the gospel, not only in its preaching, but also in its application and counsel, in encouragement, in admonition, in discipline. The word that's translated as obey, those who rule over you, obey, has a sense of receiving the teaching given by the elders. Receiving it to heed it, to say, yes, that's what I should do. You're right. I should turn. I should follow Jesus. So there again is the call to see to it that you, all of us, elders, congregation, individual sheep, all of us do not refuse to hear him who speaks from heaven. So submitting to the elders is to acknowledge that their authority to shepherd is from the chief shepherd. Christ Jesus, the head and Lord of his church. That's where their authority comes from. Therefore, they should be obeyed. Now, we know that every Christ-confessing member of this church, and hopefully every church, acknowledges that Christ is the Lord. We all confess Christ is the Lord. And that's why every confessing member vows, agrees to submit in the Lord to the government of the church. Because he's the head. He established the government of the church. He established that rule should be by elders, rule by under-shepherds of Christ. And their rule is profitable for you because the elders watch out for your souls. They watch out for your souls. That's their primary work. So we could ask, what is their keeping watch for the sake of your souls? What is that to look like? The Greek word translated keeping watch literally means to keep oneself awake, staying alert, vigilant, to guard the flock from predators, keeping track to know when one might be straying, making sure they are being fed, being led, being guarded. And all of us whom the Lord has called as elders, teaching elders, ruling elders, that applies also to those who are in the office of deacon. All of us who are called by the Lord to office, to be under shepherds, we all confess that we're not adequate for this work. As the Apostle Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 2, who is sufficient for these things? And so we elders need to look to the Lord always to strengthen us, to give us wisdom, to give us love for the sheep, to make us zealous for the shepherding work. And as thus the writer of Hebrews, we ask for your prayers. Pray for us so that we may watch out for your souls as we are called to do. We covet your prayers. And we recognize that all of us as elders, we do our work as weak earthen vessels. We are fallible. We're imperfect shepherds. But thankfully, the Lord never changes from being the good shepherd. And he makes our humble under-shepherding, as fallible as it is, he makes it useful in the care of his sheep. So thank the Lord. So watching out for your souls, what that also looks like is that the elders are to make sure that your spiritual diet is the gospel, not man's speculations, not something you might have read in some book that's not the gospel, that doesn't agree with the gospel, not what your friends down the street say is right, not what some churches that profess Christ in their name teach that is not in accordance with the gospel. The elders are to watch out for your souls, that you're fed by the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that your faith is being nurtured by Him. So elders, encourage family worship, Bible reading, studying the Word of God and speaking about it with your children, so that you all grow as sheep into the love of Christ, to be strengthened to live for Him. The elders are concerned in their shepherding for your holiness, for your set-apartness, for your hearty trust, for your assurance, which comes as you are being guided to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, nurtured to that end by the Word applied to you, illumined to you by the Spirit, taught to you from the pulpit, counseled to you by elders. The elders are concerned in their shepherding. It looks like this as well, so that we are not neglecting the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, especially as you see the day drawing near, from Hebrews 10:25. John Owen, who's always worth reading, he makes this comment that this meeting of one another together, this is really our congregational worship, is not only for our worshiping the Lord, but it's also as part of the watch of the church over its members with respect to their walk and conversation, as he says, that in all things it be such as becomes the gospel and gives no offense to the Lord, that is, so as to admonish, exhort, and provoke unto love and good works. That's one of the purposes for which we gather, and the elders are to see that we are gathering for that purpose. And John Owen goes on to say, these assemblies that are our watch over the church, he says they were the life, the food, the nourishment of their souls, without which they could neither attend unto the discipline of Christ and yield obedience to His command, nor make profession of His name as they ought. So the elders are to see to it in their shepherding that we do, all of you, are gathering, not neglecting the assembling of ourselves, so that we are fed, nurtured, so that we can live the kinds of lives God intends for us in Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, the Good Shepherd says, the one who endures to the end is saved, endures in faith, abides in Christ, hears His word, is fed, nurtured, disciplined by it. So shepherding keeps that comforting truth before all of the flock, before each sheep, that I, with body and soul, both in life and in death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And all of that confession, what that means for our assurance, for our eternal security, and how we are to therefore live our lives in gratitude for Jesus being our good shepherd. And it should be noted also that shepherding is not limited to just the elders, but we, all of us, who are members of the body of Christ, who confess Him, as we are being equipped for ministry by the gospel, as Paul speaks that way in Ephesians, as we're equipped for ministry by the gospel, Hebrews 10 says, let us be considering, minding one another, so as to stir up, sharpen one another unto good works. We're all involved in shepherding one another. But God has primarily given the ordained leadership of the church the oversight, the shepherding responsibility. God uses the ordained elders through their shepherding to preserve your souls. And so one of the things that elders need to do is to, as Paul warns Timothy, be wary of those who oppose the truth, who are corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. They have to be in watch for that, for the sake of your souls being preserved. And you couple that with Paul's admonition to Timothy that people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accommodate teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. We're all prone to that. We've seen it happen. And the elders in shepherding the flock are to guard against that happening to any of the sheep. The elders are to see to it that you continue to listen to the gospel, listen to the truth. And if you're prone to stray away from that, to correct that by encouragement, admonition, and discipline, if such is required. The whole aim of shepherding, again, is to have the flock, the individual sheep, also be looking to Jesus, to abide in him and his word, so they may endure by the comfort of that word, by the truth of that word, by the strength given to them by Christ through his word and by his spirit, that they may endure all the way to the end. Endure in the truth. Endure as sheep of Jesus Christ. And shepherding by the elders also includes leading. Be an example to the flock. Set the pattern for running the race of faith. Listen to Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Imitate their faith. Now it's referring to church leaders in the early Christian church who've already died. They finished a race. They ran it with endurance. They're remembered for their lives of faith. Lives of faith. They're running the race with endurance, looking to Jesus. And so Peter exhorts the elders who are now alive, including elders in our day, elders of this church. He exhorts them to shepherd the flock, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Shepherding by elders is also done as they example to the flock what a life of faith looks like. Trusting in the Lord, serving the Lord, running with endurance, not becoming conformed to the world. And so as elders take this responsibility to heart as they're called to, as they demonstrate their obedience, their submission to the Lord, the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, as they make it evident that they love the church, they love his kingdom, they love the sheep, they show you what a disciplined life looks like, a discipled life looks like. They're watching out for your souls. Then submission to the elders ought to be with joy and not with grief, because their shepherding is profitable for you. And since elders must give account to the Lord, as our text tells us, 13:17, the Lord wants us to give account to him, account to Jesus Christ, for our watching out over your souls. And the account the Lord wants from us elders is about how enduringly you are running the race. Because that's a reflection of Christ's and the elders' faithfulness to shepherd. And so the question that always must be asked, are you, as a sheep, individual sheep, as a flock, are you, this congregation, looking to Jesus to have him perfect your faith? Remember, he's the author and perfecter of your faith. Are you looking to him? You know, if any of you find times in your lives, maybe now, where you're concerned about the state of your faith, maybe concerned about your assurance, maybe you're wondering if indeed you are loving the Lord, if indeed you are running the race with endurance, speak to an elder. Have him encourage you. Have him guide you. Have him help you. This is what the elders do. That's shepherding. Because we're all prone to weakness. We're all prone to straying. We're all prone to let the world get to us. And then doubts creep in. You need shepherding. And what we elders always pray that we might do is to come before the Lord even on a daily basis and give a positive report. Yes, the church is running the race with endurance. It is being sanctified as we gather together in worship. That gives us leaders joy. But the shepherding always needs to be ongoing, needs to continue, because we are to continue to grow in our faith. We're continuing to grow in our consecration to the Lord. We're continuing to show by our lives that we are being sanctified as flock and sheep. And so it's always an encouraging reflection how the Lord is faithfully shepherding His church through all the means of grace He's entrusted the church. And we see, yes, there's progress. And that gives the leaders appointed by Christ joy, because there's no greater joy than to see the sheep, the flock, the children of God, the sheep of the Lord walking in the truth. That's the greatest joy. And when we have joy in our shepherding work, that's profitable for you. When our shepherding is well received and it bears fruit, that's a joy to us. And doing our shepherding in joy is certainly profitable for you, much more so than if we were to do it with grief. That's the call. Allow them to be submissive. Let them do their work with joy, not with grief. Because grief comes when there's mistrust in the church of the eldership of those Christ has established and ordained and called. There's grief when there's an unwillingness to submit to Christ's authority. You say, get out of my face. Let me just live my sin as I want. That happens, unfortunately. There's a stubbornness sometimes to have your life amended by the gospel. There's no joy in that for the elders. But they have to keep on shepherding for the sake of your soul being preserved. And so elders have to be always diligent to take heed to ourselves, because we're prone to all the same things that the flock is. So again, listen to Peter. He says, we are to do our shepherding not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have us, not for shameful gain. We're not in this for our own gain. We're to look out for your souls. But we're to do it eagerly. Again, not domineering over you, not lording it over you, but being examples to you so that we can help you lead a disciplined, assured life. See, Christ Jesus, our good shepherd, is faithful to his glorious purpose for us, his sheep, his church, his flock. So pray for your church leaders that their shepherding to you is indeed profitable for you, for your spiritual welfare, for the wellness of your soul, for preserving your, persevering you in your hearty trust, for running your race with endurance, in the assuring comfort that as you do abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, as you are being shepherded by Him, as you let yourself be shepherded by Him, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a great truth, what a great comfort that Christ, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So let us do what the Lord says. Let us submit to our elders, which is submission to Christ as He leads and guides us all the way to glory and eternal security. Amen.